Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, we have a very familiar story. And I don't think it's familiar because we know the narrative that well. Jesus is in the Galilee region around the lake, and then he's bringing his disciples to Capernaum, his hometown, and he speaks plainly of his destination. He tells them that he's going to be rejected. He tells them that he's going to suffer. He is going to humble himself. He's going to be killed and on the third day rise again. But they don't understand it because they have something else in their mind. And as they're walking along the way, they are talking amongst themselves about, well, who's the greatest? So they really can't understand what he's saying. They can't conceive of it. Their mind is preoccupied. They're thinking, well, who's great here? Who's the greatest? Now, the reason why I say this is a familiar story is because it's familiar. We see it in our families. We see it in our church life. We see it whenever two or three people or four or five people are gathered together. There is a pecking order. Years ago, I had a big, fluffy Samoyed, and I had a Husky. And there was this order, this pecking order of who was going to be first. And it was very clear at the very beginning as these two dogs came together who was going to be the top dog. And you see it in nature. If you had a pack of dogs or a pack of animals, there's a pecking order. You also see it in all relationships. You see it in council meetings, you see it in voters' meetings, you see it in church meetings, you see it in the workplace, you see it in families, and this is the reason why it's very familiar. Because someone has to establish themselves as the leader, and then the rest of the people follow as followers. But what Jesus is talking about is radically different than what the world preaches. It is, though it is familiar, what he talks about is something that is unfamiliar, and it's really radical. What he's saying to us this morning is, if you want to be first, if you want to be the leader, you have to be the servant. Now, it's not just an eloquent sermon that he preaches. He lives it with his life. You know, I think it was St. Francis that said, preach the gospel always, sometimes use words. And so Jesus shows forth this in his words, but also in his deeds. And we see this in the first reading. He is the fulfillment of the prophet. He is the one who comes into the world to be despised, to be rejected, to be humbled, to give his life as a ransom out of love. This is the great sacrifice. So the first point we come to is, it's a familiar way. It's the way of the world. As the disciples are walking with Jesus to his hometown, Capernaum, they're arguing, they're discussing. You know, who do you think's the greatest? Think it's Peter? Think it's Paul? You know, who is it? You know, they're talking amongst themselves. Well, this is the easy way. This is the way that comes very natural. But when we listen to James in today's epistle, he says that this kind of thinking is earthly. Okay, so we can handle that. All right, it's earthly. Big deal. We're familiar with it. I mean, politicians, they get together. We know there's a pecking order there. I've seen it for 25 years in church. There's a pecking order. There's leadership. It's earthly. So we say, okay, that's fine. But then St. James goes on to say, it's not spiritual. Well, that kind of stings a little bit. Okay, we can handle the fact that it's earthly. But then he goes on to say, it's not necessarily spiritual. To be thinking that way, to be acting that way, to say, well, I want to be the greatest. I want to be the one out front. I want to be the one in control. And then St. James goes even further. He says it's demonic. We're like, well, I don't want to hear that today. We don't want to talk about that today. We don't want to focus on that today. But that's what he says. He starts off with maybe something that we can handle by saying it's the earthly wisdom. But then he goes on to bring it to a higher dimension by saying it's not spiritual, it's unspiritual. And then finally he says it's demonic. And then he says the way of this world is not in line with the way of God. It's totally different. And he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And again, he's taking it to a higher dimension and offending many people. Because what's familiar is what's comfortable and something that we see in our everyday lives. We see it in our families. I see it in my family. I see the pecking order. Maybe you see it in yours, or you can think of it in other groups or cliques or relationships where people are fighting and there's jealousy and there's gossip and people are trying to be first. And St. James says it's demonic. It's the way of the world. Now, what's the unfamiliar way? Well, the unfamiliar way is the opposite of the world. It's the way of Christ. And it's what St. James says, which is praiseworthy, which is peaceful, which is logical, full of reason, and full of mercy. And it's this, that the servant becomes the greatest. Like, we know this, right? But can you imagine being at a party, and I've been to people's parties here on the island, where they bring in a servant to serve, and the person doesn't really say much. Maybe they don't even speak English. But they don't carry on in the conversation. They don't carry on in the meal. They simply bring out the food. They take the food away. They take the plates away. They're the servant, and sometimes they're hired, or maybe they're just a friend of the family. You would never sit around at that party and say, that person is the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. You would never think that. But this is what Jesus is talking about, which is an unfamiliar way of thinking, that the servant or the slave, the word is doulos in Greek, he's the one or she's the one who lays down his or her life becomes the greatest. This is really a paradox in thinking. This is a different way of looking at things. The way of the world is to put oneself out front and say, look at me, look at my grandeur. Ain't I great? But the way of Christ is a way of service, of self-sacrifice. So which way should we choose? I remember years ago, almost 23 years ago, when I was ordained in Ohio, they had, and I think I shared the story many times, they had two windows, one in the back over the organ, and then they had one back over above the altar. And both windows told a story, and it was a wonderful story. The window in the back focused on Christ's exaltation. It focused on the fact that he had descended into hell, he rose again from the dead, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he reigns gloriously. That was there in the window. The story was being told there. Over the altar was the story of his humiliation, that he was conceived of the Virgin Mary. He suffered. He was born, I should say. He suffered and he died. And this was the state of humiliation. And in the story of the windows is the story of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. It's also the story of every Christian. Because not only does Christ give us this story in his life, in his words, in his deeds, but he also calls us to follow in his footsteps. That's not always easy. Because what's familiar is what we see all around us. What's familiar is the opposite of this story, the true story. But this is the true story because it's the everlasting story. In the end of the gospel, we're told that those who humble themselves will be exalted. We're told that in James, and we hear it in the gospel, and we know it to be true. And so the order is important. First humiliation, and then exaltation. That's the order. But the world has it backwards. They really do. But I think if we understand this wisdom, which comes down from above, which is not of this world, and if we understand the order, we will truly be blessed. If, however, we get the order backwards, and we spend our life exalting ourselves and looking for positions of power and positions of grandeur and positions of glory, I think the truth is also the same, that if we do not humble ourselves, we will be humbled. True story. This goes back 10 years ago and could not even make this up. I happened to be in New York City. I was in town for business. I was wearing a pair of black slacks, black jacket, had a Roman clerical collar. It looked like I was just about to walk out of St. Peter's Cathedral. You get the point. So I was down in Manhattan, and as I was walking down a street, I saw this big sign that said book signing, and I thought, okay, I got a little time during lunch, so I think I'll stop in. And so I walked in, and I got in line, and 15, 20 minutes later, I finally got to the table. And I was wondering how it was going to go, and how it was all going to pan out. And so I handed him the book that I just had bought. And as I handed him the book, he said to me, now he had reporters all around him, and he said, "This man is more important than I am." Now, I don't know if he was being sincere or not. I don't know if we could ever judge that. God only knows. Maybe he was playing to the reporters, but as I was dressed there as clergy, he said, "This man is more important than me." And the man was Donald Trump.